Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I want to welcome you, family, to this very special gathering. On this 21st day of 2021, May the 21st, it's a special day. It's a day that God has marked for you and I for a complete reset. I'm believing God to do something extraordinary with us and for us during these meetings. God is seated on the throne and He is in control. And tonight, that button is going to be pushed for reset. And this weekend of Pentecost, in which God pushed the reset button and birthed the church, I'm believing God to do the same for us. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing. We thank you, Lord, for yokes that have been destroyed even now, chains that have been broken. I thank you, Lord, oh God, that your people have been awakened from slumber. Something new is happening in all of our lives. We bless and magnify your holy name. Blessed be your holy name, Father, in the glorious name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, who's seated at the right hand of the Father, and we seated in Him also. In His name, we call this day a day of reset. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we had a wonderful privilege and opportunity to do a special recording with a very dear man of God, Mark Payne. This man is one of the best in tickling those ivory keys and ebony keys. And we are so privileged to have him. Join me and Mark Payne as we chatted together and as he continued on to play a glorious medley. And when this is done, Mama and I are going to come back and we're going to bless you, and I'm going to bring the word of the Lord for tonight. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. I thank God for His faithfulness. This is the Spiritual Reset Conference, and I'm so thrilled today to introduce to you a very special man of God. I have heard this man just do amazing things on the keyboard, worshiping God and just declaring praise, worship, and adoration to Him. I got to meet him many, many years ago, and for a stretch of time, we were not meeting, and just recently, about 2 years ago, I saw him again, and he came back with such an anointing. I tell you what, there are some people that know how to work instruments, and I didn't think it could get better than the last time I heard him. And then I heard him again. I said, oh my God, are you ever increasing this life? And so I'm so glad that the Lord has so privileged us to meet this dear man of God, Mark Payne. Mark, I just want to thank God for you. I celebrate you. I thank God for His goodness in your life. You've been a great joy to so many as you have played that instrument. I think you're one of the best in the globe. You know, I know people, we're not supposed to measure people, but I have heard a lot of pianists, secular and religious, but there's something about how you play, because there is an anointing. It's not just the skill. There is a grace on your life, and I just want to thank God that we are so honored to have you today.
Such an honor to be here and sharing with you, Pastor. I was actually surprised when you contacted me, and you said you had heard me on a video I posted on Facebook, and this video has been on Facebook for like a couple of years, but you were hearing it for the first time. And if someone on Facebook asked me to play Jesus songs, and I was kind of reluctant, but I thought, well, I was sitting in church waiting for service to start, and I had some time on my hands, so I turned my phone on and I just started playing Jesus songs. I didn't even have a list. It just started flowing one song after the other. And we put that video up, and people asked me to do another one. I was like, I don't know if I can improve on this. Leave it alone. So I left it up there, and lo and behold, you heard it. And here we are. Thank you so.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
I remember listening to that video, and I said, wow, incredible, incredible. Thank God for His grace on your life. Before I let you go and minister today, I'd like to ask you, you know, this is a spiritual refresh, restart, whatever it is you might have, reset conference. What is God saying to you, and how has that, just that caption, impacted your life?
Well, you know, I was saved when I was 17 years old. I'll never forget. My bishop had a way of preaching. And if you weren't in right relationship with God, he had a way of just preaching right into your spirit. And we would sit there and the guilt would start coming. And so, you know, he's like, you couldn't get away from it. And so I went to the altar just to kind of get rid of that guilt feeling. And a friend of mine and I and the pastor's wife, as we were leaving, said, did you gentlemen get from God what you needed? And I turned to my friend and looked at her and said, well, not really. And she said, let's go back. So we went back to the altar. And that night, praise God, started a revival in our youth ministry. And all of us got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. They would not let us leave that altar until we spoke with other tongues and the fire. And I mean, we had to be carried to our cars. It was just an amazing time in God. But, you know, over the years, and, you know, I've been in music ministry pretty much all my life in some capacity. But, you know, over the years, if you're not staying spiritually connected, especially as a musician, you tend to kind of do things because you know to do them, you know what to say, you know how to behave and all that. But there can be a desensitizing, I think, to the real spiritual things of God and how He wants to move and operate in your life. And you can become, and I don't think you can become stagnant, because I think you're either moving forward in God or you're declining. Just recently, and I didn't know you were going to ask me to speak about this, but just recently, I felt the Spirit saying to me, Mark, you need to get closer. Yeah. And, you know, during this whole COVID season, it's so easy now, because if you're not in the actual church building, you know, the church is not the building, as we know, it's the people. Yeah. It's God's people. And but it's so easy now to just kind of get online to church a few minutes and then surf somewhere else or click off and all of that. But I think that's a slow trick of the enemy trying to sift our spiritual intensity, I believe, so that we are not as intense about the things of God that we could be. And there's somebody trying to text me. But I think now it's time to draw near, draw back, draw close. to God, because so many people are being deceived by so many different things, so many different voices. And, you have to stay close to his bosom. You have to stay close to his heart, his ear. So that you know what God is saying now and this time. How do we move forward as a body of Christ? How do we move forward as Christians? You know, it's one thing to preach the word, and it's another thing to live it, where people can see there's something different about you than the next person. You know, we can be religious, but it's about relationship. And I believe God is wanting to get us back to that close relationship with him, where people will come running saying, what must I do? What is it different about you? Mm. That's not like everybody else. I want that. Amen. And that's my heart's cry. That's my heart's
Hallelujah. Cry. I'm so glad that God chose you and positioned you to help us all grow in the things of God and to just experience that reset. It is so needed. It's so needed. And we will keep on talking for a while, but let's get to the next assignment, what God has given to you for us today, not just in the powerful words that you've shared with us right now, but in that which he is going to release into our spirit by music. Thank you so very much. I'll let you.
Thank you, Bishop.
What are you going to be playing for us?
We're going to do a medley of How Great Is Our God, You Are Great, You Do Miracles So Great, all the songs.
Wow.
Yes. So love we'll start it out like that.
Thank you. Okay. Yes. There you go. Go for it. Wow. Mark, that was just incredible. That was so powerful. I was saying earlier that you're going to do some amazing things, but I didn't know it was going to be as awesome as you just did it. So thank God for you again and
Amen.
For the powerful anointing that flowed through in your ministration just then.
Praise thank God.
You. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Wow. Wow.
Praise the Lord. Wasn't that awesome?
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, man of God, for blessing the family of God with that wonderful playing, especially those of us who are not musically skilled, but we can still enjoy it. So yeah. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, we want to thank God for every one of you, family of God. It's time to reset, to refresh, and just rejuvenate and get revived in the presence of the living God. While the world is going through so many turmoil, you know, God is a God of peace. May the God of peace visit every household that hears the sound of my voice, that during this next few days, that the power of God will visit you, touch your family, that you will gain something from this conference in the mighty name of Jesus. Where we are, there's total lockdown. There is no church services. But, you know, thank God for the media that we can come straight to your home. So these are the times we must give God thanks for every available voice that we can get the word of God to your family and to your homes. We give God praise.
Amen.
That we can still do this.
You know,
praise the Lord.
I never cease to remember that God spoke to us some 20-something years ago about the internet being the gateway, the portal that the gospel was going to go forth and reach the world. This was in the very early days. There were no videos, you know, just those big printers, and when you type A, it goes dot matrix, Commodore. You know, but God spoke and said the internet was going to be the way. And that's how we got our first set of cameras before any of this. And to see that today we are doing this tells me that God knows everything, and He knows everything about your future. Yes.
And all the in between.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
He knows what is going to happen before it happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this is not a surprise.
No.
So He's still finding a way to reach every one of us.
That's
so
right.
In your home, you are not alone. I know some people have been very lonely, especially if they don't have their own family. They don't, and even now, you can't even visit your families. So, but you know, you have the telephone, you have a computer, you have your iPad. You can do a lot of things. So you can reach your families by just saying, please, tune in now. Begin to call your friends, tell them to watch this. They will get something. You know, one word from God, like the man of God said, Kenneth Copeland said, we change your life. So may your life be transformed today.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Going to read us a scripture, and then I'm going to pray with us. And an apostle will continue with the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Like never before, this is a time of surrender. We must continue to surrender to the Lord. Not surrender to circumstances, but yield our spirit back to Him.
Hallelujah.
And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is the season for us to prove that, to know that the God of heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and our God is alive and well, and He's on our case. Father, I pray for the audience today. I ask now that everyone that hears the sound of my voice, that you will visit them, that they'll begin to reset themselves, renew their mind in Christ Jesus, to know that you are the living hope, you are the blessed hope, that in you there is completeness, in you there is fulfillment, in you there is greatness, in you there is answer. So Lord, let your people turn back to you. Those that don't know that there is a God, may they find you.
Yes.
And those that who know God that are weak, may they become strong. May they be revived to the place where they know, God, you are real.
Yes.
You are real. You are real and real and real to me. That will become their testimony.
Yes,
Father, we thank you for your holy word. Let it come with power, grace, favor, mercy, truth, healing, deliverance, wholeness, and blessings in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Bless you.
Amen. Thank you. Well, let us get into the word for tonight. I spent much time asking the Lord, what exactly do you want to say? You've given us the name and the title for this conference. We know what we would like to see happen in our lives, but how do you want to communicate it to us? And there are two main passages of Scripture that kept on coming back into my spirit over and over and over and over again. The first one is found in the Gospel of John, the second chapter. This is a passage of Scripture that you and I are very aware of. Even those who do not have the walk of faith sometimes we'll quote this particular passage of Scripture. It is that passage of Scripture where the Lord Jesus Christ's mother had been invited to a wedding. And when they got there, it seemed like things were okay, but after a short while, the wine and the wedding party ran out. Come with me to John, the Gospel of John, the second chapter, and let us explore this particular passage of Scripture as quickly as we can, and I will make the comments that I need to make. It says, "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee." And the third day. Every time I hear about the third day in this particular case being Tuesday. And till this day, Tuesday is the wedding day for most Jewish people in Israel. It's the highest number of people get married on Tuesday, I'm told. Well, but when I see that word third, I remember the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He rose again the third day. He died, and on the third day there was a reset. He rose again from the dead. And I believe tonight that there are many that are going to be raised up because we are in a third day experience. Tonight God is going to raise you up. He's going to just energize you, and you're going to come alive by His Spirit. Anyhow, the Word of God says, and the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage. Look at this statement, and both Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage. It seems to me that maybe, just maybe, He didn't have an invitation. That the mother was invited. And when trouble hit, they called for Jesus to come. I wonder why. He'd not done any miracles until this time. But there was an awakening inside the spirit of the mother that something was going to happen that day. And I believe tonight that somebody is having a surge within their spirit, an intuition that is saying something is going to happen today. I need to call Jesus into this situation. The Bible says, and both Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, when they lacked wine, the mother of Jesus said unto Him, they have no wine. It's gone. Jesus says unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Sounds rather crude. Call your mother woman. But the message is clear. When you want a miracle from God, you could care less about what names you were called. Actually, the Lord Jesus Christ called a woman who came and said, my daughter is very sick. Jesus, our Lord, didn't answer him for a long while. And the disciples came to Jesus and said, listen, do something for this one because she's driving us up the wall. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, healing is for the children. I cannot give bread that belongs to the children to dogs. In other words, woman, thou art a dog. And she, did you know what she said? She said, listen, I'm not going to argue about me being a dog or not a dog. No. But this I do know. If the crumbs fall off the table, can the dogs eat that? If the bread is the healing for the children, then any part of that bread, a little crumb, is still part of the whole. So if I'm a dog, can't I just eat that? Just, I've not seen faith like this. We say, Pastor, what is the point? The point is this: don't worry about what name you are called. You want something. Make certain that you get it. Too many people, in their own self-centered arrogance, don't want something because somebody called them some kind of a name. If you don't believe that name is your name, don't get yourself all upset. Jesus says, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Looked like he didn't know that it was time for him to bring about the healing that he, or deliverance and miracle that he had to. Because until this time, he had not done anything. You might be sitting down there right now at your home, and you may be saying, you know, Jesus has not done anything for me. God has not done anything for me before. But there is a day. There's a start date. And that start date is this day. This is the day God has made for you to rejoice and be glad. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Just do whatever he says. And the Bible says, and there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. That's about 18 gallons.
Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. Verse 8. And he says unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bore it. Now, wait a minute. They come to Jesus. The mother says to Jesus, they have no wine. He says, what business of mine is that? The mother goes and says, whatever he says for you to do, talking to the servants in that particular party, not disciples, the servants. Whatever he says for you to do, do it. And the Bible says, Jesus says to them, go fill the water pots. What are these water pots? These water pots didn't contain wine before. They were water pots that the people use when they came to the party to wash their hands and wash their feet, to sanitize themselves, clean themselves up before they stepped into the house, the room, the area where the party was going to take place. Now, when people started coming at the first, those water pots were full to the brim. They want wine. That's what they lacked. Jesus, our Lord, says, fill those water pots. So they went and they filled the water pots. And then he says, take from those water pots and take it to the master of ceremony, the chairman or whoever it is that was in charge of that particular gathering. And so they did. They took it to the governor of the feast. He takes a sip. Verse 9, it says, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. And he says this, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. You say, Pastor, I still don't get, I know he turned water into wine. What are you getting at? I'm getting at the reset. You say, I didn't see any reset. Yes, you were not listening. The reset was when he said, fill those water pots. Because when those water pots were first full, there was lots of wine for the guests to drink. And so when Jesus had them fill those water pots, he was resetting time. He was taking it back to where it was when things were good. Tonight, I want you to understand that God wants to do a reset. He wants to take you back to the best time, to the days that you celebrated and rejoiced in. It is so easy to embrace a so-called new normal and accept that we'll never have wine, we'll never have the sweetness of the vine. But God is saying, no, no, I am going to back up time and restart again. But when I restart it, it's going to be better than it used to be. God wants you to know that you're going to come out of this time differently. You're going to come out better. You're going to come out greater. You're going to come out more powerful. You're going to come out wealthier. You're going to come out blessed and highly favored. If you want to believe that you are going to come out defeated, help yourself. Or you can believe that God can turn your worst days, the bad experiences around, and bring you into newness of life. You and I need to be renewed in the spirit of our minds and recognize that God is faithful, that He is a God who wants to do a new thing in your life and in my life. God wants to bring the new wine into your marriage. God wants to bring new wine into your finances, into your relationships, into your business. Whatever it is that you are doing, God is saying, I want to do the reset. Your days are going to be better and greater. Even before we came into these days, the prophetic word of God to us was simple. You're going to come out differently. I'm expecting greater things. What about you? On this, the 21st day of May in the year 2021, God wants you to know that you can believe for a reset. So things are really bad. Yes, they may be so, but there is a reset. The other passage of scripture that the Lord kept on driving into my spirit, it's found in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 20. 2 Kings, chapter 20. I'm going to start reading from verse 1. It says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord. I want you to notice those words. Thus saith the Lord. This is a prophetic declaration. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. That was a prophetic statement. You're going to die, man. Get your house in order. Put everything in proper order. Get your will written out clearly. Know exactly what needs to happen. Speak to the people that you need to speak to. Bless who you want to bless. Tell your sons who's owing what, and whatever else. Get your house in order. Put everything in order. You're going to die. But Hezekiah did something. The Bible says, then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and I've done that which is good in thy sight. Remember the things I've done. What did he do? Hezekiah reinstated tithing. He reinstated the Passover. He reinstated the plans of God and made sure that the Levites and the priests were properly taken care of. Things that were shut down, he opened up. And he cried out to God. In my paraphrase, God, you can't be doing this to me. You're not going to let me die. Verse 4, and it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, before he got to the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I want you to know that today God is going to hear your prayer, just like he heard the prayer of Hezekiah. The judgment had come. The prophetic statement had been declared. Get your house ready. You're going to die. You're not going to live. You're going to die. The man turns his face against the wall and cries out to God. The same God who told him he's going to die. He cries out to him.
And God says, I have heard thy prayer and have seen thy tears. I saw your tears. Behold, I will heal thee. Glory be to God. That's a reset right there. I'm going to heal you. You were assigned to death. But because of your cry, I'm going to heal you. You see that word? On the what? Third day. The third day. That is the day of resurrection. That's the day of change. No matter what the situation, change. Today is the 21st day. And if I remember my arithmetic, it is 7 times 3. 7 is a number of completion. 7 is a number of rest. 3 is a number of God, but it's also the number of resurrection. On the third day, thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. You're going to go into the house of the Lord on the third day. You're going to go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years. Oh, the last time I checked, 15 is 5 times 3. 5 is the number of grace. God says, I'm going to add to you 15 years. I'm going to grace you. Divine grace. Extraordinary grace, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs, and he took it and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He recovered. Verse 8, watch this. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me? Wait a minute. I thought we just read that figs were placed on him and he recovered. God was not just doing something natural. He was doing something supernatural, something spiritual. Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me? And that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day. What is that sign? And Isaiah said, this sign shall thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he had spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? Do you want the shadow on the dial to go up 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, it is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. What? You mean back up time? Yes. The reset. Well, it's not for me to figure out how God did what God did. What's the science behind this? Because when I look in the natural ways of science, for things to go back 10 degrees, that means the sun to go back 10 degrees, that means the rotation of the earth and its orbit, everything stops. That would cause everything to fly off. But God,
can do whatever he wants to do. To him, it's just as easy as just turning a knob back 10 degrees. I don't know how God does what God does. And I don't know, and I cannot explain how God is going to solve the problem in your life. But if it means breaking every law to cause all things to back up so that he can bring about your healing, he will do it. The man says, nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backwards, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. Went back. And he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward. Who is the he? Who is the he? Yes, you may say, God is the he. And I'll say, yes and amen. But you may say, Isaiah was the he. And I'll say, yes and amen. Because he was the one who's praying. I may say, Hezekiah did it. Well, because he was the one asking. You need to ask. You need to pray, and God needs to do. But if you don't ask, if there's no prophetic praying in faith, God cannot. God is not going to just come and do whatever he wants to do and just overwhelm you. He gave you free will. And tonight, what I'm saying to every one of us is this. If we are going to have the reset button pushed, it's going to be because by the act of our will, we are coming into agreement with the will of God, with the word 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 of God, to know that reset is possible. Every time God forgives you, the reset button is pushed. Every time a miracle happens, the reset button had been pushed, because the miraculous happens in our lives because laws are broken. Natural laws are overridden so that a benefit can come your way. And God wants to benefit you tonight if you will let him. Yes, we live in interesting times. And the faith of some have been shaken. Some have gone lukewarm. Some have gone AWOL, absent without leave. Some are hiding themselves from people that they know that they should not be doing certain things. But whatever it is, and wherever you are, I have this word, a simple word for you today. That God is waiting on you. He's waiting for you to just cry out to him. Can you imagine that Hezekiah just accepted the death sentence? And then cry out to God and say, God, do something. I know you said already, but God, do something. Whatever the situation, God is well able to do something. He has a final say. And his love supersedes everything else. Say, Pastor, you don't know how messed up I am. And I'm saying, it doesn't matter, child of God. It doesn't matter. Yes, you are very messed up. And if I knew the half of it, I might say, your goose is cooked. But that's not what God says. If you cry unto God today, the turnaround is still possible. God can still change that situation. Step by step by step, and every step will be a miracle. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, Matthew 11, 28, the Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He's still saying that. Come, I'm going to give you rest. If you're laboring and you're heavy laden, you're burdened, he says, come, I will give you rest. And then he advises us on what to do. He says to us, he says, take my yoke upon you. So as you take your yoke, and then he says, and learn of me. I want to teach you the path for victory. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. You looking for rest? Or are you busy popping one pill after the other, you know, just to have a slight snooze? Because you're worried. Why are you so worried when you can start afresh with God and see God do something extraordinary in your life? The same God who could back up time, the same God who can take ordinary water and turn it to wine, can turn your tepid life around and bring about something that is so wonderful, something sweet, something glorious, something exciting. You can trust God. Now, what you cannot do, the Lord Jesus Christ says to us in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, he says to us, no man can serve two masters. As you push this reset button, you have to have this clear in your mind. You cannot serve two masters. You're going to have to make a decision on where you're going to belong, what family you belong to, what it is that is important to you, what your priorities are. Are you going to believe God or believe in what you can see and what you can do in your with your natural senses? Jesus, our Lord, says no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one, that meaning you hate God, if God is a possible master, or you hate the devil and his system. He says, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. In other words, doesn't allow the other to distract him. What are you holding on to? You may be a Christian that came from Africa, maybe. And in Africa, you prayed so much and you did so much, you believed so much. Now you are in North America, in Canada, in the US, in Britain, in Russia, in the Ukraine, in France, wherever it is that you may be listening to me from. And now the passion and the drive that you had for God is gone. Now you have placed your faith in the hospital, the doctor, the scientists, the whatever. You've placed your faith in your own ability to do 3-4 jobs to make ends meet. But you used to believe God and trust God for the miraculous in your life. Trust God to energize you to accomplish things in tremendous ways. You used to have testimonies. And now your faith is no longer there. You've not held on. Jesus, our Lord, says, you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and materialism. You cannot serve God and live your whole life trying to make the mighty euro or the mighty dollar. Whatever it is that you gain in this world will perish. It will go old. It will collapse. You know, if you've not made God your pillar, whatever else that you're building, if you've not made God your foundation, whatever else you're building is susceptible to failure. That house is going to fall apart. If your pillars are not proper and your roofing system is not proper, it will collapse. You cannot serve God and mammon. You've got to make a decision today. And that decision is going to be that reset. You're going to say, I am making the decision. I am going to follow God no matter what. 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Stop worrying about your life. What you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. Nor yet for your body what you shall put on. It's not the life more than the meat and the body than raiment. What is the word of God trying to get at? Well, the reason I'm looking for clothing is because I want to cover my body. The reason I'm trying to look for food is because I want to feed my body so I continue to live. And God says, is continuing to live not more than the food? And is your body not more than the clothes you're trying to get to put on it? Point. Focus on really the real thing. And the God who gave you the real thing. That body of yours, that life of yours. God knows that you need the covering. He knows that you need the food. And he says, I am here to help meet that need. Don't live your life trying to meet that need. God didn't give you life, so you lose it. God has not given you that body so that you lose it. Think about that. 26. He says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Because right now, I know that most of you are worried about natural things. And God is saying, listen, fowls of the air, they don't even sow. God says for you and I to sow, but the fowls of the air don't even sow. God's word teaches us that when we sow, we should mind what we've sown and make sure that we don't allow weeds on it so that we can have a harvest. And God's word says here, the birds don't even reap. God's word teaches us to gather whatever it is that we've harvested and store them. The birds don't even have barns. In other words, there is nothing about the birds that qualifies them to be here. And God says to you and I, but aren't you more important than they? If I can still take care of them, don't you think I can take care of you? Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better
than they, the birds of the air? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? That's 18 inches. You see, which one of you can just start thinking and then you add 18 inches to your stature? Which one of you, taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take you thought for your raiment? Worrying about what you're going to wear. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. They don't even work. They don't spin nothing. However, 29, yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory, as wealthy as he was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So the problem is not whether God can meet the need, it's whether you and I are exercising the faith that he's given to us. I'm not suggesting to you that God's word says don't work or any of that, because that's not what the word of God says. The word of God says if a man doesn't work, let him not eat. And I think that as a promise, when you come to God and you need employment, that you come to God and you say, God, your word says, if I don't work, I shouldn't eat. I want to eat, therefore give me a job. Hallelujah. God wants you and I to use our faith, our trust in God. And if that is one place that you need to have that reset, do that reset now. God, I'm going to believe you. I'm going to believe your word. I need a reset. 31. Therefore, take no thought. Notice this statement. Take no thought. Don't go grabbing some thought that is not yours, that's floating in the air. Take it and embrace it. Saying, what shall we eat? Don't think that. What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? He says, don't think that. What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Don't think that. Don't spend your thoughts thinking, what are we going to eat? What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going? Where are we going to get clothes from? God says, don't spend your time on that. I know how to clothe my people. He started it in the garden. While they were trying to use fig leaves, he was busy covering them with skin. He says, for after all these things, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? What are we going to drive? Where? He says, it's after all those things that the Gentiles, pagans, people who do not know God, those are the things that they seek for. He says, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He knows you need the clothing. He knows that you need to be fed. He knows that you need the housing. He knows that you need the things that you need. You need a nice car, not some rust basket. He knows what you need. And because he knows it, he's going to provide it. The reset button eradicates lack from your life. God is your good shepherd. Hallelujah. 33. God now tells us what we need to do. This is the reset. Stop worrying about that. And stop worrying about this and worrying about this and worrying about that and worrying about this and worrying, oh, am I going to have my job? If you start thinking that foolishly, and I say that again, thinking that foolishly, so Pastor, why are you saying that? Because it's the fool who says in his heart, there's no God. You're saying that God is not capable. You're not going to lose your job. I know the ones, anyone who is a partner in this ministry, don't going to lose any job. And you're not going to get any sickness and any disease called COVID. That's not your portion. And you're not going to be unemployed here. So stop thinking fearfully. When people are getting laid off, you're going to be promoted. That's your portion, promotion, increase. Because God meets all of your need according to his riches in glory. Remember that. Remember that. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. So that's what I want you to do. Seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And all these things that the pagans are busy running about, running for, trying to accomplish. He says, all these things shall be added unto you. You're going to have more houses, more food than you can imagine, more clothes than you can imagine, more shoes than you can imagine, more whatever it is that you need. You're going to have all of that. But he says, but I tell you what you need to do. Seek God first and his kingdom. And everything is going to be added unto you. But if you're going to follow the dictates of the enemy and pursue after mammon, you will wear yourself out. And at the end, you'll have nothing to show for it. God says, I show you a better way. You see, the word of God says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of that way is destruction, disaster. That is not your portion. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow. What are we going to do tomorrow? Oh, my retirement, my this, my that. And that's all good. Do all the planning that you want to do as God gives you grace and wisdom and insight to do the things that you need to do. But recognize that nothing that you do is the answer for the situations you're going to face tomorrow. If you're looking for a rainy day, the rainy day will come. You better have a good umbrella that's going to handle. You see, it's not just going to rain. It's going to be such a hard storm that will blow you and your umbrella like a parachute away. Just recognize that God is God over you, and he will shower you with his blessings. And when God showers you with his blessings, it does not destroy you. The blessings of God are there to establish you. And tonight, I want to encourage you in this, to remember that God is saying to you, push the reset button. Push that reset button and begin afresh a relationship with God. He said, Pastor, I've pushed this reset button so many times. I promised God I'm going to do this. And then after a few days, I mess up and I blow up. And I blah, 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 blah. Get up. You fall 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, 10 times. I don't care. Get back up. Well, people are calling me names. I guess you were not listening when I started out when Jesus said, woman, what have I to do with you? Doesn't matter what names anybody calls you. Get back up. Oh, but Pastor, bread is for the children. Healing is for the children. Not for dogs. Yes, you may call me a dog, but I want to eat the crumbs. Get back up. Don't allow the judgments of man or anybody stop you. Even if you heard from God, I'm sending you to hell right now. Cry out to God. God, mercy. And he still hears you. And he will turn things around if you will believe him and walk in faith. Just turn around. Push that reset button. And walk uprightly before God. He is your God who will enable you to live in victory. So do that tonight. Right now, do that. Do that. And with that, I'll stop for tonight. Tomorrow night, we're going to have a very special guest, Bishop Timothy. He's going to be the voice of God to us. The message he's going to bring to us is going to be life-changing. But as I wrap up, I want to say this to you. I believe that the reason the Lord asked me to start with the Gospel of John chapter 2 and the new wine that was made out of water, it's primarily because we are in the day that God wants us to understand that there is the new wine. He says, don't be drunk with natural wine wherein there is excess, but be drunk with the Holy Spirit. He says, out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water. And he was talking about the Holy Spirit. I believe that God wants to impact you and pour afresh on your life the anointing of his Holy Spirit. And wherever you are right now, there is going to be an infusion of grace upon your life so that you can experience this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Right this very moment, I can just sense, I can see in the realm of the Spirit a shower. You can actually feel it right this very moment. It's like water or something, you know, just pouring over you this very moment. You can feel that sensation. That is the power of God touching you right where you are this very moment. God is saying, I receive you and I am infusing you and I'm empowering you again with my anointing, with my anointing. Yes, yes, yes. I hear this person crying out and saying, but God, I have wasted that which you have given to me so many times. I've wasted it. I've taken that which you've given to me and I've taken it into the realm of the world. And God is saying, yes, the very fact that you recognize that this very moment means I can restore you. This very moment, God wants to restore you. I can see people that have gone into the secular realm coming back into the family of God. Hallelujah. The change is taking place this very moment. The change is taking place this very moment. People who have gone astray are coming back. The backslidden are coming back. They are coming back to the living God. They are coming back. They're coming back. They're coming back into the family of God. They are coming back into their right mind. Just like the Bible says about the prodigal that left home. When he came back to his mind, to himself, he said, even the servants in my father's house have so much to eat, have more than enough. I will go back to my father and I'll say, I've messed up. I've done you wrong. Son, come back. Come back. Daughter, come back. push the reset button. You say, I messed up, I did wrong, I made the wrong decision. And God is saying, come back. Come back. Every detour leads back to the main road. May the Lord bring you back into the right path. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. I declare it by the authority of the word of God that the grace of God sweeps through your home, through your family, right this very moment, that your home becomes truly a home, not just a house, a home. That your marriage be healed, that your body be healed from every infirmity, from every disease, especially the disease of the mind. In the mighty name of Jesus, let the power of God bring you not only recovery in your physical body, but may you be delivered from every siege of the enemy. Hezekiah had been sieged, and the people of God were under a siege. But God, in the twinkling of an eye, drove the enemy, Sennacherib, away. And that enemy he saw no more. In fact, that enemy that was making boasts against him and the people of God, trying to deceive them, trying to subdue them, trying to just overwhelm them and influence their thinking, that same king was killed by his own family. May God take the enemy away from you. And may you receive healing for your finances, for your business, for whatever it is that you're doing. Let God enlarge your coast even now in the mighty name of Jesus. The failures of yesterday are not an indictment and they are not final. The Lord is saying, for somebody that failed in something, he's saying, listen, my timing is the best. Trust me. God is going to guide you and take you step by step by step by step. And that which you thought was a failure becomes a blessing. I give God praise for his eternal word. May the blessings of God pursue after you. May they overtake you. And may you know the goodness of the Lord all of your days. May the reset button now be pushed. I push it for you. In Jesus' mighty name, the clock is restarted and opportunities are now open to you in every area of your life. Captivate every moment and enjoy it to the full. The Lord God Almighty is good unto you. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I thank God for the privilege once again to share the word of God with you. And Mama and I are truly excited about these opportunities that we've had to share with you. And we'll wrap up tonight in sharing communion together. I'm going to have Mama lead us in the communion segment. And while she's doing that, I want to encourage you to honor God with your giving tonight. In fact, I don't know who it is that is going to take up this challenge, but maybe God will speak to somebody right this very moment to give a special offering, this being the 21st day of the 2021, somebody who will see a 21-21 special offering this evening. Say, I'm going to give that 21-21, that's 2,121. I'm going to release it unto God and mark this day as a day of refreshing. That God is doing a reset for me, reset for my family, reset for the body of Christ, the partners of Glory and Peace Church and the Lord's body globally, that there be a reset in our nation, that we will take our rightful place as believers. And whatever else anyone else wants to give, this is the week of Pentecost. Pentecost stands for 50. Whatever it is God lays on your heart to do, just give a special offering tonight as we started this particular meeting. Amen. And Mama is going to lead us in communion. The information on how you can give is on the screen. Do make use of it. And be blessed of the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, at home, get your elements. I hope you got them ready. So every night we'll be taking communion. So just make sure you have yours ready. Where Jesus broke the bread and he called it his body.
Amen.
So and he commanded us to do this in remembrance of him. This was before he went on the cross. So in other words, his broken body cannot be exchanged for ours.
Yes.
So our body that is broken, we can take his own that is perfect.
Amen.
He forever lives. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So everything is fixable. It's never too late. Mm. Let us put our trust in the Lord. Part of the passage we read tonight was, oh, your little faith, how long? So may our faith increase. And may we believe God for divine health.
Amen.
In every area of our life, to live a God life while we are still on this earth.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Take and eat. Praise the Lord. He took the same cup of wine and he blessed it and he called it his blood. May the blood of Jesus become your blood, the same thing. It's perfect blood. So if you don't have enough blood count in your system, God can fix it. If you don't have protection, God can fix that. If you are troubled in any area, God can fix that by the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
If you have sinned, his blood has paid the price for you.
Yes.
He can forgive. So be free from guilt. Be free from shame. Be free from every blackmail of the enemy. The blood of Jesus sets you free. So take of this blood and every enemy pass over you, including death, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Take and drink.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Thank God for his grace and for the sufficiency that we receive in him. Be blessed and be highly favored. Remember, this is the Spiritual Reset Conference. We'll play once again the promo to remind you of the times. Again, 6:30 tomorrow evening with Bishop Timothy, and then on Sunday morning we'll continue at 10 a.m. and of course Sunday evening at 6:30, not 7, but 6:30, when we have special meetings. All the evening meetings are at 6:30. Okay, so listen to the promo again, and may God restore every area of your life.